Currently, right now, the Armcost and the Strox are in Cambodia. The Armcost went to Thailand, tried to get into Myanmar, and then went back to, or in Cambodia now, and possibly Monday, they'll be able to go into Myanmar if the visas and things come through. The story from today, if you see where it says the Shan Plateau, they're just south of that, that Slawin area. Right in there is where this group of people lived. The story takes place over 100 years ago, but that's the location of it, so we can have it in our mind. So the story involves a group of people in Burma at that point called the Karens. I know that's a Karen today. It's a totally different association, with, so I don't think there's any connection. They make up currently about 7% of the Myanmar population, about 5 million. There's about a million that live in Thailand across the border, and some of the strife inside the country, they were on the wrong side of it, so there's a lot of them that fled the country. So Pastor Armacost was at the very least going to go try to visit some of them, the Burmese that had fled to Thailand, and this group is amongst those. So about a million in Thailand. There's about 200,000 of them that have made it to the States. I was at a meeting in Indianapolis, and the church there has a Burmese population. They actually translate the service into Burmese because there's a pocket of them there. So, all right, this group of people called the Karens. All right, the story starts on April the 30th, 1823, at a missionary meeting in Washington, D.C. At that meeting, a man by the name of George Boardman agreed to go to that area and start a missions work, and it becomes very successful and rapidly expands. By 1910, which is the time frame where the story takes place, there's about 50,000 Christians among the Karens and 774 churches, and all but 92 of those self-supporting independent churches. So we have this mission work very successful there. Nearby to the Karens was another tribe of people called the Breks. And these were very backward, the account here says they lived by plunder and were known for being fond of eating uncooked meat and blood. All right, so I like meat. I don't mind if it's a little bit pink in the middle, but I'm not ready to just start chewing on it raw. So a pretty primitive, pretty dangerous tribe that was nearby. And this group of Karens, they had themselves a gathering of Christians at a conference type thing, and an evangelist got up and was challenging somebody to try to reach the Breks. No one had gone there to present Christ to them. And I'm going to read you a little bit of the account here, as I said here. So as this evangelist is speaking, it says, "Finally, a man stood up, almost as though talking to himself, and said, 'I am sorry for the poor Breks who know nothing of God or his law to man. I'm unhappy because no one goes to them with the great tidings. If my church will give me leave, I will go.'" So, man, we don't even know his name. He stood up and said he was willing to go if the church would authorize it. So there are some questions back and forth. The man had a family. He said he was going to trust God to take care of them. The church asked about his safety, and this was his response. "God delivered me from the mouth of a bear," sounds like David, "and from death when crossing a swift stream. He also saved me from the mouth of a tiger. He will be with me in this work, no matter how difficult." After some conversation there, eventually this man was sent to go to try to reach this tribe of people. Some of his church members traveled with him to the extent of the British territories. It was a British possession at that point, and the Breks lived outside that territory. So they traveled to the edge of that, and then he traveled for about two more days beyond that up into the mountains, and eventually got within sight of a village and traveled down into that village, not realizing that village was one of the worst. It had amongst the Breks, it was where all the real troublemakers lived. And I'm going to read you a little bit of the account here as he approaches this village and what happens. "He seemed to be spotted by a number of men simultaneously. Thinking him to be the advance of an attacking group, they seized their spears and knives and soon surrounded the Karen evangelist. Anger was written on their faces, but the national evangelist stood quietly. He asked, 'Do men of war go about in the daytime alone and unarmed?' Then, pulling out his Bible and hymn book, he said, 'This is the book of which our ancestors have told us from ancient days. It speaks, listen. Then he read, and after that he began to sing. The evangelist was a sweet singer, and the men were fascinated with his fine voice. The man of God was singing for his very life. The love of God flooded his heart for these savage people, and soon his music calmed the angry hearts of these wild men. And as once they calmed down, they put the weapons down, the immediate threat of death has passed, and he begins to share with them the gospel and what the Bible teaches. And over several days, they begin to be receptive, and then as people get saved, he and others, he goes to get his family, and others go there, and in a short time, there's a church established in that village. And soon after that, other villages, the gospel begins to travel to them. This account ends with this statement, and it's kind of challenging. What are we willing to do to reach those around us who are in darkness? We don't know this man's name, but he was willing to go at the risk of his life to try to reach this group of people. So, all right, if the ushers would come down. We'll